Hold on, let me jump in here real quick. Ah! What did I just see?
Simon! Simon! Simon!
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
Yes, you're listening to episode 74 of Sapnin Podcast with myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards, also known as Mo Dick.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards. This is episode 74, and it's going to be coming at you like a box full of sharp objects.
How does a box come at you, bro?
You know when you get really angry, like you are now, that I've made that pun.
Yeah, couldn't you have started with we are on episode 74? It's our time to shine.
I could have, but
you didn't. Do you have a worse one? This is why I get angry. It's not because of their puns. It's because a lot of the time it's the level of pun. Like you've just seen, that lyric or that song title will do. I'm not having it. Put a bit of bloody effort in, right?
I'm sorry. Next week I'll make sure it's a little bit better for you. Okay.
You won't. And the same thing will happen next week where I will forget up until I've done this bit, and then you start talking, and I go, oh yeah, of course this is a bit where he says one bloody song title.
Anyway, Sean. Apart yes. from that, this episode, I'm very excited about it. You are, and I'm sure the listeners are as well.
Yes, they bloody should be. This week's guest is Emo God. Can I say that? Emo God?
I'll allow it.
Thank you. Thanks, Morg. Morgan, with his jurisdiction on what is emo and what isn't emo, he's gone with... He'll allow it. Emo God, Bert McCracken from The Used.
What a mad sentence that is.
Yes. It was fantastic to speak to him. Thank you very much to Emma Van Dytes for sorting us out and hooking us up. This was our first lockdown podcast.
Yes, it's the first time we've done a podcast remotely. We've all been in different places at the same time.
Yes, yes. Bert was in Australia, which I didn't expect at all.
I don't think anyone did, to be honest.
Yeah, and we had to get up early to do it.
But it's an absolute pleasure. Literally, I'm so amazing. Happy and pumped that Bert is on the podcast. He's one of the dream guests I've wanted on since day one, and he did not disappoint. You are in for a treat. And of course... Yes. It's a celebration because today, as we release this episode of the podcast, is also the release date of the Used 8th full-length studio album, Heartwork.
And what an album it was.
Oof.
I say was because technically we're recording this Monday, and I've listened to it 3 times now today in full, and it is awesome. If you're a fan of The Used, new or old, I think you're going to very much like this album because it has tinges of the old stuff with like a fresher, heaviest Used stuff I've ever heard, and also some of the poppiest Used stuff I've ever heard. And as we all know, Bert can bloody sing a chorus. Oh, and he can write the chorus. Fair play to him. Great album.
And
thank
lyrics.
You very much for sending it to us earlier. Yeah,
and don't forget and the lyrics. It's a positive, energetic record. And yeah, we're just going to have a massive celebration with it. So we're going to be talking to Bert all about new tracks, some mad features of names he's got on the record, the Used career, because they're such an enigma of a band, really, aren't they? And they've had such a chaotic past. We're going to dive into his love for weed, the early days, and everything else you can ever possibly imagine, including my trousers.
Oh, and also, who would play Bert in a film? he goes into that as well. So yeah, it was a fantastic chat. Thanks again to Bert for giving us the time. We had a great morning chatting to him, and it was great to see him as well.
Yes, I'm so excited to get this one out. And of course, you can share your excitement for the podcast by checking out our social media pages at Sapenin Pod on Twitter and Instagram.
Yes, check us out at SAPPENINPOD. That's at SAPPENINPOD on Twitter and Instagram.
Yes, let us know what future guests you want, or if there's any messages you want to send us. Check anything out. Best place to go. But also, while you're checking things out, head over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/Sapenin, to get involved with our wonderful community.
Yes, if you've liked any of the episodes so far, or have listened to more than two or three, and fancy helping out and giving back, yeah, do as Morgan said, check out patreon.com/Sapenin. There's a wide range of tiers to choose from, and for the smallest amount, it gets you into our fabulous Patreon community, which made me cry on Sunday because one of the patrons, Ricky, posted a Saturday night after a couple of beers type message, and yeah, he just said how much the group has helped him and his band, and yeah, it made me cry on the Lord's Day. So thanks, Ricky. What a wonderful, wonderful thing we've somehow managed to make between us, Morg.
Yeah, so literally, if you're not aware, our Patreon have become such an amazing community. And as Sean mentioned, it's become a hub for people not only to interact with each other, but to make new best friends. And in these weird and uncertain times of lockdown and everything going on, everyone has helped each other out so, so much. So literally, if you need a place to feel loved, patreon.com/Sapenin.
Woohoo!
And as well, of course, a big thank you to anyone checking this podcast out for the first time ever. If you are bored in quarantine, make sure to head back and listen to all our previous episodes. There is definitely a guest on there you will enjoy. You will be entertained. And of course, Sean's got some brilliant stories from his time in bands as well.
Yes, yeah, so there's bound to be at least one. There's something for everyone we've done so far. Yeah, have a look back through our back catalogue. There's other 73 episodes to choose from. We promise you, you will enjoy.
But tell you what they will enjoy, Sean, is this episode. Because this episode is fan-bloody-tastic.
I thought you were going to make a pun then, and I'm super glad you didn't. Should we just go into the episode?
Why not? Without any further ado, this is Bert from The Used on episode 74 of Sapenin Podcast. I can't believe that's a sentence, and you're about to see why.
Tidy. Sapenin.
Sapenin.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sapenin!
What's happening?
What's happening?
Yes!
Hi!
Yeah.
We are super lucky that this week our special guest is none other than one of the greatest voices of his generation, one of the best, one of my favourite frontmen of all time, ladies and gentlemen, Burt McCracken.
Yay! Yes! Pleasure. Pleasure to be here with you.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time. You're our first guest that we've had to record this way, via Zoom. So it's going to be an experience, but thanks for experimenting with us.
You're welcome. Yeah, the whole world is on a experiment right now, it seems. So great to be chatting.
Yeah, so how's things, regardless?
Yeah, not bad. Making the most of it, trying to keep smiles on my daughter's faces, enjoying the homeschool situation. It's it's been when I'm home, I kind of keep to myself, keep pretty chill when I'm home anyways. So it's almost like we just have this big break where we're not touring, except for when I think about the daunting realities of the unknown future. But yeah, no need to think too hard about that. Take it one day at a time. And yeah, feeling good about having this record come out while everybody needs music more than ever. And I've been lost in art myself. There's so much time that I need to read some of the books I've always wanted to read and dive into old records. And there's tons of new records coming out too that I'm so pumped about. Yeah.
Oh, nice. What records in particular have you been checking out?
The new Fiona Apple record is, oh man, it's phenomenal. It's just this genreless masterpiece. She's always been one of my favorites, but this record is really, really powerful. Me and my daughters have been jamming. It's a lot of the time it's whatever they want to hear. So they go between the Disney classic hits that the little girls would want to listen to. But luckily they like Dad's new record too, so we get to jam the used heart work quite a bit.
Yeah, that came out, when this comes out, this will be Friday now. Heartwork will be out today. Congratulations.
Whee! Celebration.
Congratulations.
It is, man. Thank you. We're so stoked. It's been in my headphones for the past almost 4 months now, so I'm super stoked to have some people to talk about it with.
Emma sent it to me this morning and I got up really early and I've played it through twice now, pretty much. And it's unbelievable. King of the choruses. Well
done. Appreciate it, man. Yeah, we only had a few serious kind of guidelines to the record making process, a few things that were actually kind of talked about before we went in the studio, and they were all really simple. It was the most simple kind of process that we've ever gone through. It was that we wanted to have the kind of nostalgic connection that we understood when we were growing up with music, whether that for me was Sunny Day Real Estate or Converge or Michael and Janet Jackson, Mariah Carey, just the kind of where we came from musically should be a part of this record. For a lot of us, that kind of meets in the middle with a 90s kind of grunge sound, but you'll hear throughout the record that it's really all over the place. We tried to kind of jam a bit of what everyone loves the most into the entire thing. So yeah, that was the one thing. It was like, let's make music that we love. It also deserves to be catchy, because I think the Used plays amazing live shows that should feel like church, big family sing-along where everybody has this kind of cathartic release and walks out of there feeling on top of the world. And we're all in the best headspace we've ever been in. So the other kind of stipulation going in was, let's just say yes to everything, every opportunity that comes up, any possibility, any adventure, any kind of new or strange thing that we maybe would have been skeptical about in the past. Let's just say yes and go full force at everything. So it was a really refreshing kind of different record, especially coming off of making The Canyon as our last experience. It was, you know, a bit of the opposite. It was a really kind of heavy, strenuous, emotional time, which I oftentimes associate with making a record. I feel like maybe it has to be all these types of devastating, but yeah, it goes to show that I think you can even approach the darker stories with a different headspace and you get it a totally different color. I think it gets painted in this, a dark moment painted in this kind of almost neon brightness. It's a cool thing.
Yeah. There's a lot of different vibes on the album. Yeah, like you said, it goes from like grungy riffs to massive choruses to pop moments. And yeah, it's awesome. It's really, really awesome. Congratulations on it. You should be chuffed.
Thank you, man. Yeah, we had a real bonding experience the last record, Making the Canyon, and really had our musicianship put fully to the test, kind of putting that stuff down live on tape. I think we were ready for any challenge on this new record, and being a band that shares everything equally and really respects one another, we thought that, you know, if the majority of the work done in the studio was also equal parts input, I think that I have a tendency to kind of steamroll a recording session or a creative process because I get so excited about the music that I just, you know, like, come on, what about this? Try this. This has to be how it is. This is amazing. But yeah, this time was a full family collaboration. My ideas for drum parts were just as important as Dan's ideas for vocal and lyric parts, which was, yeah, something outside of the world of what I'm used to. I'm usually really protected, very precious about the creative process, but I really had the opportunity to just let it go. I like my daughters say, relentlessly singing at me all the time, let it go. Yeah, but it was nice to kind of feel free and trust in each other and trust in the process. And with Feldman, every day is just a pleasure. You show up at the studio and they know that I'm a night person. So I maybe don't get to sleep till 7 or so in the morning, every morning anyway. So they let me have a decent amount of sleep so where I can function. And we meet up a little bit after noon and drink coffee and talk about what the song should be about. And it feels like everyone's just on the same page. It's just this creative kind of relaxed. I think that artists can kind of, if I feel relaxed and not judged, I would just maybe spout a million ideas. So yeah, it was a really kind of energetic, and everything was on the table. It was nice. I rarely took home any homework. Like, I rarely worked on lyrics outside of the studio rooms, which is rare. I usually finish all the lyrics back in a hotel room somewhere or sitting in a car. That's usually the place where I go to write lyrics. But there was only maybe two songs that weren't just like in the moment with everybody in the room. It was awesome.
Oh, nice. And like, obviously you mentioned they're working again with John Feldman, and you've actually signed to his own record label and stuff now. There's been times in the past, obviously, where you've worked with other producers and stepped away, but you've always kind of gone back to John. Do you feel you just have this like connection you don't get with anyone else with him, especially like with all your past and just the friendship you've had over the years?
Yeah, not necessarily that we don't get anywhere else. I feel like we're fairly genuine dudes. Maybe I'm not the easiest guy to work with on a creative level. Maybe I think I kind of, like I said, I tend to kind of, when I feel like I know what I want, I try to steamroll towards the future really aggressively. But I do, there's a few things about John that stand out. He's just so driven. He could write 3 songs a day and they would all be worth listening to. He's got this really special touch. He's legendary. And the way that he went to bat for our band from the beginning, that's probably really American terminology. The way that he got in the ring for us from the very beginning was like, he was immediately part of the band and he's been family ever since. When I'm going through something tough in my life, he's one of the few people I would call and kind of pour my heart out to. So that relationship and that connection has always been so genuine, and we're such different people. I think that's what makes it really cool. We both know the struggles of addiction. That's the camaraderie there is intense, but also I feel like he's a really good pop filter for my maybe messy, overcomplicated, overanalyzed, way too literary lyric that once he told me to just dumb it down, nobody knows what an oubliette is, all these things, I'm like, okay, well, let's just take another shot. And I wouldn't feel like he's taking a personal dig at me. I trust him and I trust his process. So yeah, it's a special relationship. I never for one second thought of that I would never end up in the studio with him ever again. I hope that we will do another one with him again. We also like to kind of take ourselves out of our comfort zone. And I don't know, it's the more we've kind of gone in different directions and the more we've it's different stuff we've done, it just, we always kind of come back to that same kind of neat, the same thing we always wanted from the very beginning, is just to have an amazing time with people we love and to create songs that we want to listen to over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And, seems really, really, really easy with John Feldman. We're really lucky to still have that relationship. I've been insane during John Feldman records before, to the point where, like, how does he still want to be my friend after all these years? So I felt really, really lucky or blessed, fortunate, however you want to look at it.
Yeah, but as you said, you were such a big supporter of the Used in the early days. But am I right in saying that the first time you met him was when you snuck onto a Goldfinger tour bus and gave him a demo?
I don't know where that story came from. I wish that story was real.
Oh, man.
That story is great. I hope that I've talked to him about, I think that I've talked to him about it in the past. I don't know. I was never, when I met Quinn and Brandon and Jeffa initially, I mean, I had known them for a long time. We were all in different bands in the little tiny, teeny scene that Utah County had. But when I kind of first hung out with them and got to know them as people and what they liked musically, I was freaked out. I was like, oh no, this is not going to work. These dudes like Goldfinger and like Green Day and Slipknot and shit. I'm like, I just listen to hardcore. I don't know about you. Like, I like a little bit of experimental stuff. Like, I could go for some Radiohead here and there, but Goldfinger, I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, after, I think it was, we just sent demos to whoever. I think after Brandon sent him the demo, the real story is he was having the demos kind of sent to him wherever he was, and he grabbed up his mail before he left on tour, and he had a handful of demos, and he was listening through in Sweden, because it wasn't even like songs were being emailed back and forth then. Okay. It was like we sent a disc in. And so he must have been listening on a CD player in Sweden while he was on tour. And he called us from Sweden that night.
Wow.
And was like, you guys are going to fly out to LA the second I get home. We're going to do the awesomest demo ever. We're going to get you signed to a record label. And I'll introduce you to some management. And we'll get you on tour with Goldfinger. I was like, what the fuck just happened? Slow down a bit. But yeah, after I met him and after I, you know, when you meet someone, it changes everything about the band you thought you knew. You know, all I had ever heard of Goldfinger was a teeny tiny bit on the radio. They're popular in Salt Lake City, but I hated anything that was popular. I was that kind of intolerant, music snob, hardcore kid. So, guilty as charged, but yeah, no, I didn't sneak onto Goldfinger's bus before I met John Feldman. I snuck onto a lot of buses, just not his.
Oh, you've got to say now, who's do you sneak onto?
I snuck onto, was it Ugly Kid Joe's bus or some?
Okay,
some
yeah.
Butt rock. I met an even cooler story than that is I went to see Jimmy Eat World play with the Get Up Kids, and I met James. And my favorite band at the time was Coalesce. And he took me onto their RV and showed me the brand new Coalesce, which at the time was Functioning on Impatience, which is like, for the hardcore kids out there, Functioning on Impatience is like a legendary hardcore record. They showed me that record before it came out. And the intro track is just him screaming along with a big drum beat. And I was just so young and so like, this is the most insane night of my life. This is the coolest shit I've ever seen. Type of deal. It was awesome.
Nice. But you ended up on a Goldfinger track, right? You do some screaming and Open Your Eyes.
Yeah. After I think that John recorded that record, maybe right after In Love and Death. I ended up on a lot of stuff that John would just ask me to do for bands I've maybe even still to this day never heard.
That's crazy. Uh-huh.
Anything John wants me to do, I would do 100%.
Is there anything? Is there anything big out there that you're on that people might not know you're on?
There is a. I have a band, kind of like a metal, like a fantasy metal band with a buddy of mine out here called Night Dragon. And if you look it up, it says Night Dragon featuring Burt McCracken, but get your face shredded. Some Night Dragon. Shout out to Bobby Dazzler. Yeah,
I remember the first time I heard Open Your Eyes and I was like, I'm sure that. I was like, John Feldmann sounds a lot like Burt Yeo when he's screaming. I was like, to the point where I was like, is that John Feldmann screaming on all the used records then? And I was like, no, surely not. It must be the other way around. And then, yeah, I found a credit to you for Open Your Eyes. And I was like, again, a brilliant song. So congratulations on being involved in that as well.
Hell yeah. It's always an honor to be involved with anything John Feldmann did. So I had so many experience where I lucked out. I was just happened to be in the studio and he's like, hey, do you want to sing on a Black Veil Brides record? I'm like, 100%. What do you got? What do you got? I love music.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And with that as well, there's a lot of features on this record in particular. You've got Travis Barker, Mark Hoppus, Jason Butler from Fever 333 and Caleb Shomo. Obviously, these are all bands that you've toured with and been friends with and stuff over the years, but how did all they really come to fruition on this record and why so many features now out of like and not before?
It just felt like the vibe of the record. Everything was so open. Everything was kind of, and I think it's been that way for the last couple of years. We found that we love working with other artists to not only like experience the humans inside of the art, but also to kind of add a cool element to the used. I think that whenever we work with anyone on anything, whether it's somebody doing our lights or somebody designing a album cover or just the single artwork, we like to really, we ask them to be their complete selves. This is not about what we're looking for. It's about who you are. And we love to kind of bring that into our cool little vibe. And so we've had all these awesome experiences. It's just taken us outside of ourselves and watching other people work and watching other people write, and especially watching other people perform and a recording is just a like little mini performance. It's just, yeah, it's inspiring. You learn a lot about yourself. You kind of really become a different kind of connected with that individual. It's really cool. Yeah. So with everyone, with the exception of Caleb, I've never met Caleb. We've had tons of cool chats back and forth, but we were talking with Brian from Knocked Loose for like a month. So it was supposed to be Brian initially. They're one of the busiest hardcore bands out there. and it just fell through last second. Hopefully we do something in the future together. But yeah, we needed someone quick. Caleb's voice is perfect. I mean, maybe worked out a little bit better in our favor because he's singing harmonies. His voice sounds incredible matched up with mine. Like, him taking the whole second verse. I'm not really quite sure how it would have worked out with Brian, but it would have been cool either way. But I approached Caleb with the concept and let him know where I was coming from. The song's kind of based around the Shirley Jackson short story, The Lottery, which is so awesome. If you haven't read it, it's really short and it's so powerful. It's poignant. It's about traditions and kind of how we see things. And it relates to this world in so many ways that people probably couldn't have even imagined back then. I imagine that when she wrote it, she was probably talking to maybe the religious and other type of structured traditions. But we have all these normalcy in life now that we take for granted that are so obscure and far-fetched and out of our hands and just literally sucking lifeblood from us that we don't even think about. It's really incredible. So yeah, he took the concept for the song and felt like he devoured it. He came back with his own lyrics that I immediately were like, dude, this is perfect. And then he recorded the song like right before he went on stage in New York, just did it in the backstage room. So and I'm pretty sure that I probably couldn't have pulled that off. So many props to him. I was like, you gonna do what? Oh man, that is incredible. Yeah. We're so grateful to have him on the record. He killed it. One of my favorite Used songs ever. Definitely the heaviest Used song of all time.
Yeah, we had Caleb on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, and he was telling us the story of the offer. When the offer came through, he was just so happy to be able to like be on one of your records, that he made sure everything was perfect and all that. So yeah, I think he's quite excited to be on there as well.
That's awesome. Yeah, we're so stoked for the new connection. I only could hope that it could lead to a tour down the road. Those guys kill. Those guys absolutely destroy. Huge fan. And yeah, the other three guys, we've had personal relationships for a really long time, back from the Let Live days and Boxcar Racer days, and was Mark Sullivan plus 44 days.
Yeah.
All sorts of experiences with those three people in particular. All those people, Mark, Jason, and Travis, all have a lot in common. They're all very, very humble. They're all super driven and super passionate. The type of people you'd want to be around and watch work, because they're so driven, and the type of people that would mesmerize you. You would look at them and you would tell someone after, like, yo, if this person hadn't already made it, this person is going to be around forever, because this is legit from the heart type of stuff. So what an honor to be able to work with all three of those people.
Nice. Well, as we're recording this, the date is the 20th of April, which to certain people, that's a very important date. So it's 4:20 today. And last week I saw that you announced there's some Used cannabis about.
Yeah, Five Star Extracts. It's just mine. I teamed up with this company out of Southern California, compassion-based cannabis. We just put out a high-powered tincture that comes in a little bottle that's 800 milligrams per bottle. So it's like a death dose, but it comes with a little syringe. Not to shoot in your veins, but you make little weed cocktails and stuff. So we're starting there, but we got a whole gigantic line of products coming out soon. Everything from balms to shatters, waxes to everything in between. So we're really, really excited. Really cool guys. They started the company when their grandfather passed away. Their grandpa was terminally sick and on morphine, and kind of like just couldn't get out of bed, was just kind of living to die pretty much. And they got him to try cannabis, and he was able to stop the morphine and had a really kind of enjoyable end of his life instead of just suffering on drugs. So that type of situation is kind of seeing the truth about cannabis, especially for places like where I live in Australia, where it's still far from legal. Still going to take a long time, but it's awesome to see the positive that it really can do. And not to say that it's not dangerous, and we know that it's not for everyone. Some people who have proclivities towards certain mental illnesses and all these things. I mean, this is not, I wasn't asked to give a disclaimer. I just know that, it is marijuana. So it's definitely not for everybody, but a lot of people personally that I know that use cannabis have expressed is even, and especially during this dark time of isolation, that it kind of helps you just keep the edge off, and it kind of helps you avoid the pitfalls of a determined, depressed thinker, right?
Oh yeah, completely.
So happy 420 to everyone out there. Mwah. I wouldn't quite touch like this. Don't touch your faces, guys.
Yeah, that's difficult to smoke today, really, isn't it? If you can't get it to your face as well.
I know, right? Yeah, there's a few times. I mean, just cover yourself in some type of lighter fluid or something else that's sterile.
Wow.
If you need any names for any products, let me know, because as soon as I saw that you announced that you were making it, I went on Twitter and I posted loads of loads of puns based on the used song titles. So
it's amazing. You and I would have an absolute blast just hanging out together. We've had multiple sessions on the bus, just going back and forth all day long. I mean, it'd be amazing just to kind of take any theme and run, right? Like great 80s flicks or any kind of, just do a different kind of line for everything we love. It's amazing. Yeah, I'll keep that in mind. I'll hit you up.
Oh, yeah, you should do a grinder with It's Our Time to Grind.
Oh, yes. I love it. That's perfect.
I did loads. I did too many, to be honest. I did too many. I probably spent about 2 hours trying to think of used-based weed puns.
I love it.
But I'm just imagining when all these projects do come out, that your merch line, you know, at gigs is just going to be so long that everyone's going to be queuing for ages to try and get hold of everything.
It depends on where you're at, I suppose, right?
They can true. Only, okay, yeah, there, true.
There's lots of cryptic new... There's so many different regulations and things all over the place, and different states have different laws and stuff. But yeah, hopefully someday soon, while we're still young and fresh-faced, it's just goes fully legal everywhere, and you know, everyone can benefit from the rich love, from the all natural goodness that is. All right, I'm sounding like a teenager now. So. But yeah, it's really all jokes aside, it has helped me, and this is controversial as well, because inside of Alcoholics Anonymous and these other type of programs, really looked down upon. And I know some people, John Feldman, for example, he's an all or nothing type of addict. Like if he smoked weed, he might just go off the deep end and smoke a bunch of crack and end up in a gutter somewhere. You know what I mean? It's that's what I mean. It's not for everyone, but for me, it helps me with almost literally everything in my life. It helps me with my stress and my anxiety and my depression and my sleep issues. And I love using cannabis before I go and work out. It gives me a real serious mind muscle connection during my workout. And it makes me a better dad. It makes me more relaxed and patient and loving, kind, fun. So yeah, I think we'll bust through the wall of stigma before long. And I think that, yeah, it's only a matter of time before people understand it's a lot more healthy than alcohol.
Yeah. Oh, no, I completely agree. I found, I went from being straight edge up until I was 30, so like 5 years ago. And then when my band ended, when the blackout finished, I fell into depression or whatever. And then I found weed really, really, really helped. Like, it would just take the edge off. It would make me think laterally and normally when I was in real situations where I was like, I can't handle this, I don't know what to do. I could just have a joint and I'd be like, okay, I can see the world clearly now. So yeah, it has. Yeah. And it's, as much as it's illegal over here as well, it's been a great help to me. I can't deny that. So
yeah, just like with everything, we should trust in the research and the science. And one thing we do know is nobody's ever died from it. You know, you're way less likely to smack your wife or, you know, drive into a pole or somebody's family or a lot of other things that are detrimental about substance that's so readily available, like alcohol. That's crazy. Yeah, we'll slowly get there, but yeah, it might take some places a little longer than others.
It's interesting to hear that side of it, though, because like for me, for example, I've quite straight edge myself. I've never had any alcohol, smoked anything or anything like that. So to see your point of view and things and how it's actually affected you both artistically and your day-to-day life is quite refreshing.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, anyone who's experimented with any substance knows that there's a fine line between using and abusing, and it's easy to take things too far. But what, when you don't, when you're not, and I think that with a substance like marijuana, it's a lot easier to keep it tame than nearly any other substance. I have an easier time going easy on weed than I would even coffee. You know, I'll drink a pot of coffee till it's gone and then make another one. So yeah, I mean, of all the things out there, I think that especially for people like me who have been back and forth with nearly everything. And, I know this kind of keeps me above the things that I know will take everything from me. So that's a positive.
And one thing I did want to mention is, of course, you know, in the 20 years the Used has been in existence, on like growing up listening to the band, it seems that there's been like so many strange encounters and things that's happened to you guys on the road in your whole band life. Sometimes do you feel there's a lot of things people don't know about the Used, or like do you think there's so much there ready for maybe a book or a film or something like that in the future?
I feel like what's special about the Used is just the connection to the small things. You know, I think there's something as simple as being honest about where we came from and about kind of the ride and the whole journey is so important to me. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know who would tell that story, because the subjective truth behind the eyes is often lies. But yeah, I mean, I think that there's a little bit known. There's maybe not, it would be a cool movie just because the Used is my favorite band.
Good. Yeah,
I would definitely watch it, but I would more likely want to sue the parties involved who are making it, because they're about to talk a bunch of shit, say a bunch of lies. I'm kidding. I'm not suing anyone. That's the other guys.
who would play you?
Mac Culkin, or his little brother, or his big brother, any of the Culkins, or why not Jared Leto? Sorry, Jared. Jesus, just drop it already. You are the best Joker.
Oh, we're not gonna laugh, are we?
Oh, those are jokes. It's all jokes. Those are jokes.
We know. We know.
There's not a mean bone in my body.
But with that, is there anything in particular you feel that people don't really realize about the Used's history, or just maybe something like of actually what goes on behind the scenes with the band?
Yeah, I mean, all honesty, the story about what really happened with Brandon, what really happened with Quinn, and what really happened with Justin are just kind of slowly stewing. I think that they've told their story from their side. They've been a bit slanderous at times towards me in the press and during interviews and stuff. And I really haven't said hardly anything about the whole thing and how it's gone down. Now that like we're through all the kind of nonsense of it, I think eventually the story will come out. I don't necessarily think that here and now, before a brand new record that's kind of so positive and so full of inspirational moments and so kind of true to what the Used has always been, and this is like celebratory, anthemic, catchy songs, I think, would kind of take from that. But I will tell you that any talk of the four original members ever getting back together is just as realistic as Nirvana reuniting with Kurt Cobain singing. That will never, ever, I'm telling you now, Brandon and Quinn, it will never happen, not in a fucking million years.
Fair enough.
Yellow teeth confirmed. Never happened. So yeah, eventually we will tell the full story. I think that we've kind of looked like bad guys a little bit because we haven't told the story. There's so many crazy nuances about the intricate relationships, the family relationships that are bands. You know that. We toured with the Blackout.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that when those stories finally do come out, I mean, if I was to write a book, I would want to write some badass piece of fiction. I would never want to waste my time reliving the beautiful past. I want to create. I think that you can learn a lot more from fiction as well about yourself and about how the world works. Those type of books are written like about the bands and the crazy shit the bands did. Those are for people who don't read. And they were never written by the guy who said they wrote them. They were written by some dumb writer who sat in a room with whoever the guy is, the Motley Crue guy or the Def Leppard guy, whoever the fuck guy.
Mad.
I've heard a few rumors about a book being written about the band that could really kind of make me sour because of just the state of social media and just the whatever. But the use is one thing we never do is kind of take it lightly and make light of the past and the impact that the first 2, 3, 4 used records made on the world. And, you know, it was because of those guys, and I give full credit to everyone involved and the beautiful moments we had. And yeah, that doesn't mean we ever have to see each other ever again. What a rude guy. I'm kidding. You never know. I don't know why I'm talking. Shit.
It's all good.
I didn't even say anything mean.
Nothing at all. I don't know if I ever told you this, but when the Blackout started out, when your first record came out, the Blackout covered Box of Sharp Objects, and then years later, then obviously we got asked to support you at Nottingham Rock City, and I asked Emma Van Dyte. I was like, "Oh, I know the words. Can you go and ask him? Can you go and expecting a no?" And
yeah, I totally remember. You came out, right?
Yeah, and that was literally a dream come true for me. So thank you very much. I found a picture the other day of that performance. We did it a few times after then on Taste of Chaos as well, and I did Wake the Dead with you a couple of times as well.
Oh, that's awesome! Yeah, I remember you guys, man. You guys, it was awesome. It was a really cool tour. I remember you guys would do whoop whoop. That's the sound of the police.
yeah, I was. Yeah, I found
that's
a
awesome.
I found a photo of me and you on stage the other day, and I hate to say it, it's not a good photo of either of us.
What year was that?
Oh,
you're racking his brain now.
2006, 2007.
Okay, all right. We're still not. I mean, I guess at that point, when we hadn't switched to full, like, fried chicken, mac and cheese, cheesecake diet. By 2011, I weighed, let me see if I can do it in kilos real quick. I weighed like 210 pounds, which I guess would be almost 100 kilos. Yeah. Insane. So there was quite a few years where I didn't look good in any photos. So that's all right with me. I've always been here. I've never gone anywhere.
It's a good photo. We're both sweaty, and I've got my ridiculous blonde helmet of a haircut. And you've got long hair. I just wanted to say thank you for the inspiration, and thank you for being cool guys, because we weren't expecting it, but you never know if somebody's going to be a massive dick. And it turns out
you
weren't a massive dick. So thank you very much for not being a massive dick.
I think that that's a huge part of, I think that there's some bands out there who the love of music is so real that I don't know why we would never just go around treating people like shit. That the Blink guys, they were the most giving, and like whenever we did shows with them, they would strike the entire stage for our stuff, which is unheard of for a big massive band to do that. So yeah, I think definitely what goes around comes around, and vice versa. And dude, you're welcome, man. It's great to see you again. Those are amazing times.
Yes they were. Well, if when we're all allowed out again, and when you come to the UK, I'll be there.
Let's hope soon. Yeah, we had big plans to come to the UK. I think that they keep just getting smashed in our face. So I hope they, I mean, it doesn't really look promising for big shows this year if they're talking about canceling the Olympics even next year, right? But I don't think that they can keep us from live shows for that long. I don't think it'll be next year. You never know, man. Maybe the conspiracy theorists will win and the truth will be you. I'm kidding. I've stayed at home the whole time. You can see I haven't had a haircut in months.
Oh, same.
I keep my daughters home. My wife works at the quarantine hospital. She's a midwife, so we understand the realities of it. We're not trying to mess around. I trust the pathologists and the epidemiologists first, as you should, the people who know what the fuck they're talking about.
Yeah,
experts.
Yeah. I mean, not saying that Alex Jones and InfoWars doesn't know. They might know, but we'll just wait.
The turn of the frog's gay.
The 5G!
Coronavirus gay frogs. Yeah, this is taking a turn.
Gay frogs, dog.
A madman. Gay frogs. They're turning the frogs gay. Who cares, Alex? Who cares if the frogs are gay? Who cares? It's not a thing.
Oh, I love it. Oh, I love it. The world is an exciting place.
Yeah, I can't remember what I was going to say. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, when Emma told us that you were going to be calling us from Australia, I didn't know that you had moved out there. How long have you been in Australia?
Yeah.
Yeah, I moved right before the Warped Tour in 2012. So I've been down here for almost 8 years now. If you can't tell by my thick Aussie accent. I love it down here. It's really far away from everything, which is perfect for a pandemic. You know, there's only 71 people dead so far in a country of, you know, like 28 plus million. So somehow, for some reason, I hope it doesn't spike up when it gets a little colder or what have you. We'll just keep hanging on, man, day at a time. Who knows? But yeah, Australia's an amazing place. It's an amazing place to raise kids.
Awesome. Yeah, I loved it over there. It felt like it was equal parts America and the best parts of Britain for me, Australia.
Yeah, it does have a kind of a modern, cool feel, but without the America's. Yeah. America's too dangerous with all them guns everywhere, man. What you gonna do?
I read it was like the first march in like 5 years there hasn't been a school shooting. So, hey, well done, pandemic, the virus.
Oh, I read a bunch of good news. The turtles, the cleanest air in forever, like all these things. Everybody loves to see a good stock market crash. Down with capitalism, we'll come out on the other end and all the rich people will get bailed out. The poor people will be way worse off. The beginning of the end has begun. I'm camped out in this storage room, like stuffed up next. My daughters are just in like pre-bedtime mode, so they'll be just bouncing off the walls and everything. This is that time of night. So yeah, I'm tucked away back in the what should be the laundry, what should be my personal gym, but I don't have one of those. So
yeah.
Just lifting my backpack around like everyone else is, what in God's name, trying to do pull-ups on my door. Give me a break. Sick of this quarantine, man.
But with the quarantine as well, I mean, like, you know, since The Used first released albums back in like 2002, obviously you've seen the industry change so much with like, you know, streaming services and all that, but is this the weirdest release period you've ever had, being stuck inside and not being able to like actually celebrate it with gigs and all that?
100%. You never put out a record and just hide out. That's the insane strategy. It's like, I got a great idea. We'll put out a record, but we won't go anywhere or do anything from it except for just the odd press from home. It's like, what? That's a horrible idea. No, it's just how it worked out. It makes sense if we were putting out a movie in a theater or something like that. But yeah, I mean, I've said it before, but we don't get any money from those Spotify overlords anyways. So people need music right now. I'm glad Fiona Apple's record came out a few days ago. There's a lot of cool music I've been jamming. I'm glad there's a new Pearl Jam. I've been jamming a bunch of shit. So I'm just happy that there's music that is coming out. I imagine too, don't you, that during this lockdown, just infinite numbers of records being written right now as we speak. Yeah, I mean, I know my brain has been on fire, so.
Yeah, I've had about seven different people who have absolutely no interest in doing a podcast before reach out to me to go, oh, how do I do one of these podcast things? And I'm like, no, whoa, don't start taking my market. Everyone's just locked in, just creating. And yeah, I think there's going to be, yeah, a big boom of music and art. Obviously, some of it will be fucking dreadful. But some of it will be fantastic. So yeah, I'm looking forward to see
what some of it usually is dreadful. One thing I think will be amazing to see is that outside of this, you cannot go anywhere, especially to rock shows. You wonder how many kids you're going to see at a rock show watching through their phone after this whole thing is over. I think everyone's just going to be so grateful to be there in person. It might have a little bit of an impact on some of the kind of darker sides of modern technology. I think we'll maybe want a bit of a break. We're sitting here forced to kind of be with these digital handcuffs. So yeah, let's get out and go to a rock show again.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of it like that. It'd be quite interesting to see how that plans out, because I'm sure you've seen it over the years, this people down the front Snapchatting the whole set.
It's wild, man. And I don't want to ever tell anyone how to enjoy life, or these are the best, these things. They work so good. And then when you take it through there and put it in there, you can keep it. You can actually keep it. You don't even have to pull anything out to look at it. You just like close your eyes, you're there.
Literally the best cameras in the world, just there.
I like to, just like with things like pandemics and other things, I like to kind of look towards the people who have taken the time to put in the work to do research. And what we do know about social media is it breeds inferiority. It's bad for young women. I mean, I had it for a little bit. I had an Instagram for, you know, the first little while. And I never walked away feeling inspired or feeling uplifted. I always found myself in this trap of a scroll trap. Mm. I don't want that. I have pages to turn. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. There's been often times where I found myself caring a bit too much about Instagram and stuff like that. And
all of the things too, like we're not, no human, especially me, is above or beyond the susceptibilities to their algorithms, which will beat us every time. It's like, how much shit do they have to take away from us before we, but I've been mentioning this a lot during press because I was really inspired by an author named Zadie Smith, an English author who was talking about social media, and she said it so perfectly, so I'd probably ruin what she was actually trying to say. I think if you just Google some of her speeches. But she also said that it's not for people on a stage to kind of be giving these warnings. Everybody knows the truth of it, right? We all know their data farms to suck us dry. We all know they care nothing for us. They know that we're incited by things that make us upset. And it's all fucked for humans. So having two daughters on the planet has kind of helped me realize a lot of things, not just about social media, but I don't want to ever build a wall, or I'm not in that way. This is too soon. Wall conversation. Yeah. I don't ever want to kind of separate myself from other people. And I think where this conversation started was a good place. It's like, I don't ever want to tell someone how to live their life, or I don't want to be one of those bands that like takes your phone away before you go in the concert. I want you to do whatever you want to do. I think if somebody inspired you to see it the way I see it, just a tiny bit, you might act a tiny bit differently. That's all. I don't know. Awesome. Maybe not.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. Yeah. And with all this now, of course, the record will be out today when this was released, but have you got anything else in the pipeline from like being at home or anything? Any little things fans can expect from the Used while in quarantine or beyond?
Big record. I got a podcast coming out.
We gotta go. Thank you very much. Bye.
No, I'll just be at home until they let me out, and nice. can't wait to be back on stage.
Yeah.
I think that the live experience is so special. I've never been one for. I don't have an Instagram anyway, so don't look out for me on it. I'm all, whatever.
Don't follow me on Instagram. Brilliant.
All the true hardcore Used fans out there, this record's for you more than any other record. I think that it's a bit of everything that everybody's grown to love, know and love about the Used, but I think it's even an over exaggerated kind of reach to dig deep and really feel something on this record. So we're so stoked for people to hear it. And
nice.
Beyond destroyed by the amount of love and support we've still have after 20 years. It's insane. It's still a dream come true every day. We don't take it lightly. We will never take it lightly. And our way of being grateful is to kind of show that humility and keep making records, keep giving it back.
Awesome.
Yeah, well, you've done what a fantastic effort with this album. It's absolutely brilliant. I'm going to keep listening.
Appreciate it so much. We're pumped.
It's for a sunny 420. I'm going to go and listen to it out in the garden now. And thank you so much for doing this.
I really appreciate you taking the time. I do have to say, this is the first time since being in lockdown I've actually put on nice trousers. I don't know why.
We haven't seen them.
I've had these on since I left Los Angeles. These 5-star extract sweats. Check out 5starextracts.com. New tincture out now. Taste of peach.
If only there was a way for that to be legal in the UK.
I know. Coming soon.
Wah, wah, wah.
Coming soon, and we'll send you some bottles pretty soon.
Oof.
As soon as we can.
Oh, that'd be awesome. But yeah, thank you very much for doing this. Thank you very much for the music. Thank you very much for the inspiration. You're a legend. Thank you very much.
Right on, guys. Really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks, Bert. Really appreciate it.
No worries. Appreciate your guys' time, and good luck with everything. Good luck with the podcast in the future.
Thank you very much. You too.
I'll try to shut down as many podcasts as I can from here on out.
Right. Get them for us.
Take care, guys. Have a great day. Peace. You're listening to Sabbath Podcast!
Yes!
Yes.
Yes. Yes. 1,000 times yes.
Yes, what a great guy. Thank you again to Bert. What a super, super interesting chat. I haven't seen him for probably 6 years, maybe.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was nice to set eyes on each other as well via Zoom.
It was a brilliant chat and a hell of an experience to talk to Bert through the mediums of the internet and Zoom and all that. There's a brilliant photo that will be coming on our social media pages at Sappening Pod over the next couple of days as well. So make sure you give us a follow to check that out, because I've literally been smiling ear to ear just at that photo since we've done the interview.
Yeah, it was great. It's mad to think now Bert McCracken has probably seen more of your bedroom than, you know, the majority of girls in the world.
Yeah, that's a mad sentence as well. But
Bert McCracken's seen the inside of your bedroom.
Yeah, he has. But the thing is, Sean, like, I don't think that's something I can, like, continue to tell people. Like, I can't just go up to, like, when we're all allowed out of this, right? And yeah, I see someone on the street or at a gig or something wearing a Used t-shirt, I don't think I can go up to him and be like, tell you what, mind, Bert, see my bedroom, and walk off.
I reckon if you were a drinker, I think you might do it. I'd imagine. Tell you what, this is a funny story I didn't tell Bert, so if he's still listening, and he must be, because he's a massive fan. Snoz from The Blackout had... who has long hair, long brown hair, as anybody who knows Snoz from The Blackout will testify. We were in Liverpool once, right? And this chav girl in this tiny dress with fake tan smelling of biscuits, like girls who wear fake tan do, right?
Wow, okay.
Came up to Snoz, right? And we weren't expecting this at all, right? And she went, "Hey, Mace, you look like Bert from The Used." And she went, "It's our time to shine." And we were like, "What? How do you know The Used? Like, you look like you listen to A1 or the Venga Boys," or like, it was mental. But yeah, so another crap story that I forgot to tell Bert.
Outstanding. But yes, a massive thank you again for him to take time out of his very busy schedule being a father, as he mentioned, to have a lovely conversation with us. Please go and check out, well, at the end of this episode, make sure to go and check out their new album, Heartwork, that is available worldwide right now. And a big love as well to the wonderful Emma Van Dytes for sorting all of this out for us. We love you very, very much.
Yes, we do. Thank you very much. Yeah, what a great album. Again, I've absolutely loved it. I've gone through three times now. I just listened to it on the car on the way over to the shop as well.
And I just want to put it out there. So we mentioned the feature. So obviously, you know, Bert's on this episode. We've got previous episodes with Jason Butler. We've got a previous episode with Caleb Shomer with Bear Tuff. If Travis and Mark from Blink-182 want to pop on the podcast, then I'm sure we can find some time for them.
Oh, I'd like a bit of Feldy as well at some point. I'd like a bit of John Feldman.
Yeah, I mean, if he fancies it, I'm sure we can swap
we'll
some things around.
We'll supply the coffee. That might bankrupt us though.
Oh, that's true. He's mad for his coffee, isn't he? He does.
Yeah,
John, if you're listening, give us a shout at Sappening Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Isn't that right, Sean?
Oh, please. I'd like that a lot. Open Your Eyes by Goldfinger is one of my favourite songs. I did try and get the boys from Raiders to cover it, but I don't think they're having it.
Oh. Is it Bob? Yeah. Is it Bob that won't do it?
I don't know. I just suggested it and I just kind of... I don't know if I ever heard back, to be honest.
What cover do you want Raiders to do? Like, what cover do you think Raiders would be able to do that you'd all agree on?
I did try to push for an AFI song as well, but then I realised I can't sing.
Anyway,
I don't know.
You did miss the cue I was giving you to spell out our Twitter handles.
What do you mean?
Spell the Twitter and Instagram, please.
Fucking hell. Am I being fired?
No.
Am I being fired from my own podcast?
The tone that you just
spell the Twitter and Instagram. At SAPPENINPOD. That's at SAPPENINPOD. Did I do all right, Morg?
Yes,
was that
you
okay
did.
For
Yay,
you?
You
no,
can spell.
Thank you. Thank
you can spell
you.
Better
can I keep
than
my
me?
Job for another week? Oh. You prick.
Wow. Anyway, go and check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/Sapnin as well, while you're checking things out, because it's a lovely thing to do. And every tier gets you into our wonderful community. As we mentioned earlier, you want to be a part of it. There's some random goodies as well. And everything that goes into that helps us make this podcast bigger and better than ever before.
Yes, and in a couple of weeks, we will be trying to put up the Zoom footage that we have of us and Bert having a chat.
Ooh.
So, yeah, it's worth being part of our Patreon just to have some of the Patreon behind-the-scenes stuff that we've been putting up on the wall there as well. So check it out, patreon.com/sapnin.
Because there's some photos on there as well that wouldn't have gone down well on our social media. Wee!
Naked. What?
Oh, I didn't upload that folder, did I?
I don't know. Yeah, I think you did.
Oh, bloody hell. Anyway, a massive thank you to all the wonderful people listening to this podcast right now and our patrons. If you head over to the description of this episode, you will see so many names of beautiful people we need to thank. But we need to give a massive, mahoosive, gigantic, lovely, energy-filled shout-out to the elite members of our Patreon page. And they are the names Sean is about to read out to you.
I was like, where the fuck is he? He's going to run out of superlatives now. He's going to run out of nice things he can say any second. Those people who need thanking, who are absolute superstars, who we love very much, thank you very much to Mayumi Liwaway, Kylie, the jizz shroom is in Sarah's bedroom wheeler. Oh, you, we bloody go. Mitch Perry, Amy Wasting Away for New Raiders music. Wasting away, waiting for New Raiders music, Chilvers.
I like that.
It's all about the he said, she said, mo dick. Emma Barber,
like
Shani is an eeny, meeny, miny, mo lover. My emo lover. Dana Lasnova, Amadine Urbano, Janelle, I've been in lockdown more days than I've been sober. Casten, True Diddy Diddy Dum Diddy Doo Styles. Samantha Spray, Dilly Screaming Toe, Screaming Camel Toe Grimwood. I'm going to have to stop reading these. Some of these are upsetting my imagination. Nathan Croshaw, Kelly Young Needs a Week Off, Kelly Irwin, Scarlett Charlton, Kate Puttock, Simon Amos, Jenny, I'll Shoot You Before I Shoot My Cat Munster, which is mental, Kate Stevenson, Amy, Don't Feed Me to the Tigers Campion, Emily Senegals, Lucy Diaz, Caden Denoudston, Martin McManus, Erin Howard, John and Emma, James, Send Mac and Cheese ASAP, Mid Wales Has Run Out Oakley, Louis Cook, Marcy Jacobson, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, Sarah Stewart, Jordan Burchard, Mike Cunningham, Jamie O'Jamie, Paddy the Magnificent, Mr. P. Niss.
Say that again.
Mr. P. Niss.
Continue.
Kelly Emma Cannon, Livy Cropper, Paul Show Me on the Doll Where James Oakley Touched You Hirschfield, James McNaught, Lydia Henderson, Chester Knows Dewey, Amy Thomas, Scott Depleted Zinc Jones, Tallulah Grant, Stuart McNaught, Tony Michael, Jenny Robertson, Jamie Bluer, Sarah Send Nudes and Pizza and Climbing a Walls Here James, Craig Harris, L. Douglas, Becky Show Me on the Doll Where James Oakley Touched You by Yoko.
Wow, so they're getting more and more creative with these names as the weeks go on.
Yeah, Mr. P. Niss.
Thank you to everyone.
I love these names. I love them when they change them.
Thank you to everyone on our Patreon for being absolute top sports and superstars. We love you very, very, very much. And if you want to get involved with these wacky people, if you've got a name you want us to ridiculously shout out on the podcast, Patreon.com/Sapnin.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that was episode 74 then, I guess.
Yes, of course. Let us know who you would like us to talk to in the future, because we're all in isolation. So technically, those guests should have no excuse why they cannot have a chat with us.
No, but they are finding them and they are making them. So... we're going to keep trying. But yeah, thank you very much if you've got this far. The word of the week... bugger.
Normally, we have agreed that this will be a Patreon feature, but we forgot this week because we were too excited about Bert. So
that is true. So what, bud? So what? You're going to come up with the word of the week now. Go.
The taste of sapnin. Hashtag the taste of sapnin. I don't care how long that is. We're going with it.
Yeah, all right. No, it's fair enough. I was going to do 4 o'clock in the sapnin morning. But it doesn't, it's too big anyway. Right, you are right.
The taste of sapnin.
Yes. So, yeah, again, thank you very much to Bert. Thank you very much to the Used for the music over the years. Thank you very much to Emma Van Dyke for sorting it out. Thank you very much to Morgan Richards for being here and sorting the Zoom out and recording stuff. Thank you very much to myself, Sean Smith, for just being a massive legend at all times. Yeah, that's the end of this sapnin podcast. I don't know why you were fucking laughing. Sapnin!
Sapnin!
Good. I'm glad he didn't say another fucking word then.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.